Hello, St. Petersburg! Hello, Tampa Bay! Hello, all you local beaches! Happy Holiday Weekend, Radio St. Pete! This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, and we are up next! Fourth of July weekend, everybody. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show coming to you live right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. Mm-hmm. So it is a holiday weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the 4th of July weekend.
Woohoo. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, it is. Hey, listen, if at any time during the show you want to give us a call, please do so at 727-498-0502. Or if you want to try to win Joe's money.
Yeah.
Call that same number, 727-498-0502. We had a caller last week. Well, didn't answer the first question. If you want to win Joe's money, basically, you have to answer three questions correctly, mm-hmm. and it's 100 smackerels.
Easy as that.
That'd be real nice for a holiday weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Hey, if you don't want to give us a call, you can tweet us.
Yeah.
Tweet us at the Marco Radio Show 1.
Uno.
And we get quite a few tweets during the show. And we play along with those. It's a lot of fun a lot of times.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, let me go ahead and introduce everybody here in the studio.
All right.
Across the table from me is my little girl, Hannah Claire.
Hello.
How are you?
Great.
You looking good?
Thanks.
I got off work early today and got to spend a good part of the afternoon with you. That was fun.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. To your right is my blushing bride, Stephanie.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Wait, you have like a tense look on your face. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm good. I wish it was a long weekend for us.
Yeah. You know what? That's kind of the thing. It's like it is a holiday weekend, but why don't they make the 4th of July like Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is always on, what, a Thursday?
Right.
Easter is always on a Sunday. Can't we figure it out where the 4th of July is always on a Monday or a Friday?
Yeah. Can't we just rename it Independence Day and have it be the first Monday in July something.
Exactly.
Rather than the 4th of July so that it falls on a Tuesday.
Yeah. You know,
leaving that awkward, are we open Monday?
Work Monday? A lot of people do have a 4-day weekend.
A lot of people
Unfortunately,
do.
Unfortunately, we don't.
No.
We have to go to work on Monday.
Right.
Anyway.
Whatever.
It is what it is. To my blushing bride's right is my boy, Ty Gann. How are you?
I am.
That's it? You are?
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming you're going to be working pretty much most of the weekend. Is that the case?
I have tomorrow off.
Yeah, that's cool. All right.
Yeah, I'm working.
Then the rest of the, quote, holiday, you're working.
Mm-hmm. Hannah Claire.
Yes.
Now, this is the 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What do we also call this weekend? I mean, what is probably the official name for the 4th of July?
Independence Day?
Nice. Good for you.
Didn't I just say that?
Just said it.
Well, you know, that doesn't mean that she would know that, right?
Independence Day.
It's Jeff Goldblum, Will Smith Day.
Yeah. Sunday Pants Day.
Let's see if Hannah was paying attention right out of the box here.
Yep. So last week we had a very special guest on the show, which was Spike from the Spike on the Mic show. And if you listened to last week's show,
what a hoot.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Because let me tell you something. That show was a lot of fun. Spike is a good dude, and I enjoy listening to his show every Monday night on RadioSt.Pete.com from 7 to 8 p.m. Not only is Spike a hoot on that show, but all the rest of the guys on the show are great. P.W. Fenton, who I'm going to talk about a little bit later. Bill Smott, who actually called in
last
week to give us sort of a rowdies report.
Right.
You know, during our sports segment. And then you got you've got Captain Clark,
right.
Who's
mm-hmm.
always funny.
Always
funny. And then you've got the voice of reason, the B guy.
The B guy.
Who I find very interesting.
He's fascinating.
Yeah.
In his own way.
Yeah. He doesn't say a whole lot. But say something, it's the voice of reason.
It's very educational.
Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it is summertime here, folks.
Yeah, really? Yes.
I mean, without a doubt, it is summertime here.
Don't you notice my tan?
No. You call that a tan?
I'm working on it. I've been working on it.
Okay. Jeez. Work a little harder.
I'm darker than Ty.
You can't tan in
Not
the shade.
Really.
I am. Well, this light makes it look great.
I mean, for the last 2 weeks here in Florida, the temperatures have been in the 90s with a feels-like temperature around 100, 101.
150.
It's hot.
Yeah, very hot. Now, the thing is, out west, they're having record-breaking temperatures.
Yeah, they're having, like, trash cans melting and, like, mailboxes
it's
melting.
Unbelievable. I saw,
it's
I
big
see?
Issue.
But global warming isn't real.
No.
Phoenix, Arizona, which is always hot.
Right.
But they've already reached temperatures of, like, 119
so far
this summer. Las Vegas has hit 117. I was out in Las Vegas back in the 80s, and when I was there, it was 112. Very hot. Very hot. So, but they've already hit 117 so far. That's within the last week or two.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. 122 in Palm Springs, California. Mm. 124 in San Diego.
San Diego?
Really?
Yeah, that's outrageous.
For San Diego,
yes. San Diego, I mean, when I was in the Marine Corps, stationed at, what's the big one there?
Del Mar.
When you were in Del Mar. Camp Pendleton.
Oh, right.
It's basically San Diego. I mean, I can remember, you know, it was not uncommon to wear long pants, even like a sweatshirt or a jacket in the evening, you know, during the summer.
Because it's cool.
124.
That's
outrageous.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
That'll kill you.
Death Valley has gotten some record temperatures. 127.
Oof.
It's warm there.
I expected it to be actually a lot hotter there since San Diego was at 124.
Right, only 3 degrees warmer.
Right, in Death Valley.
Folks, let me tell you something. If you don't believe in global warming, guess again.
Yeah. There's something going on.
If you don't believe in global warming, come here to Little Old Seminole and go to work with me every day. I work outside, folks. You're going to be sweating.
Immediately
sweaty
from the second you walk out the door at 5 o'clock,
right?
You're gonna be sweaty.
So one of the things that's important, especially here in Florida, and I'm guessing this is the same thing up and down the East Coast, the beaches, especially the southern beaches like Nags Head, Myrtle Beach, things like that, because it is summertime and the water temperatures get a lot warmer. You have to be especially careful when you go into the water about stingrays.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a warning today that make sure you're shuffling your feet when you go into water because stingrays are out and about and they will get you.
Just don't go in the water. There you go.
Ty, people go to the beach to not just sit on the sand. They go to the beach to go in the water.
Dad, why do you go to the beach?
I go to the beach
to sit on the sand.
Yeah, and I go in the water to
pee.
And but let me tell you something. When I do go in to pee, I'm shuffling my feet.
Yes. That's just because you don't like getting in the water.
Right. Hey, if you're going to be doing a lot of traveling, especially by road this weekend, the holiday weekend, we have a bit of a break in our gas prices.
Hey.
A lot of gas prices, especially here in Florida, I don't know what they are nationwide, but here in Florida, we're looking at gas prices around $2 a gallon.
I saw on my way home today $1.93.
Oof.
I know.
Where was that?
At the Shell.
Shell? The one we go to?
No, the one at Seminole and Almerton.
Oh, $1.93. That's great.
That's
now.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, how long after the holiday weekend is that going to hold up?
I don't know. It's surprising.
I mean, think about it. If you're like $2, $1.93, and you have any of the rewards cards or anything like that, and you can knock it down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting your gas for like nothing.
Right.
That's a good time to get gas, everybody.
Well, I saw where these are the lowest gas prices for the 4th of July weekend in 12 years.
Wow.
Okay.
Look at that.
Okay.
So, a lot more people, I have a feeling, will be getting in their cars and going on a road trip.
Right.
You know, especially with the whole holiday being on Tuesday.
Right.
You know, why not take advantage, take a day or two extra, like some people did, and turn it into, you know, a whole week off.
Right.
Come back to work on Thursday.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of a plan.
That's a good plan.
Right.
Hey, one of the other things I want to mention to people. Look, a lot of people go to these fireworks stands, and they get all hopped up on all these great deals on these fireworks packages, and you know they end up spending like $100 or even more on all these fireworks, and you know they're not pyrotechnic engineers.
No.
I can't, you know, it really boggles the mind that fireworks are even legal.
Well, technically, in a lot of places, they're not.
I mean, in a lot of places where they're not, it's because of a drought situation. We're fortunate enough this year here in Florida that we've gotten a lot of rain during the month of June where we're not going to have to ban fireworks for the 4th of July.
But they're still technically not legal.
Anything that leaves the ground
right. Isn't
legal.
Well, I guarantee you.
Or anything that blows up the ground.
You have to sign a waiver that you're using it to
scare off birds.
Indoors?
Agricultural purposes.
Isn't there a song, Indoor Fireworks?
That's what it is. Yeah, and yes, Elvis Costello. Yeah. Great song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to say you're using them to like scare away wildlife.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, for agricultural purposes.
Yes. Are you kidding me? So if you go to a fireworks stand,
you have to sign that waiver that says that you're using it for agricultural purposes.
So if you're having a fireworks display at your house, and a police officer comes up, and he doesn't see any wildlife.
Well, job is done.
You're supposed to be scaring. You need to. He can arrest you. Is that what you're saying?
I guess.
Job well done.
Mm. Yeah, it worked. All the agriculture is gone.
Well, I was listening to the radio
blown
this morning,
to bits.
And it's not yet the 4th of July, but I heard the very first report of somebody losing their fingers.
Oh, great.
You know, somebody that went out shopping at the fireworks stand early this week and decided to play with them.
Well, it is Florida.
It is Florida. You know, I mean, come Wednesday, there will be all kinds of reports. So-and-so lost two fingers, somebody lost an eye, and somebody else shot their aunt in the face. And
how many football players are we going to get this year?
Right. Exactly. just be careful out there. Don't be a dumbass with your fireworks.
Right. Don't burn your house down.
Don't try to hold it.
Yeah.
You know, light it and throw it.
Don't put it in your light butt.
Definitely don't do that.
Don't put a bottle rocket in your butt. You know,
it will burn you.
You're not
jackass.
It didn't
go well for Steve-O.
Right.
It's not going to shoot out your butt.
No.
It's going to burn your butt.
You know, have a little common sense, even though you're playing with fireworks in your back. Yeah, just go to the big displays.
Right.
Yeah, well, you got to be careful with that, too. Well, I mean, how many of those have exploded?
Yeah, stay back. But,
you know,
leave it to the experts.
Start shooting fireworks at the crowd.
Once, like, every couple of years, you hear about, like, one of those fireworks factories that... catches on fire and explodes. And...
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw a report.
Must be cool to watch.
I saw a report where they've
Jimi Hendrix, everybody.
They've recalled defective fireworks that have already been sold to people.
Right.
And I hope, you know, people have actually responded to that recall.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, those are the ones you just tape into a big ball and throw at the neighbor's house.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Ty, this is why we don't let you outside.
Uh-huh.
Stay in your room.
You have to be a nice neighbor.
You do. Mm-hmm. So, should we talk about pre-show dinner?
Yeah.
Sure.
We did something different this week. We went to, Jersey Mike's?
Jersey Mike's.
I mean, it's a chain. It's a sub shop, right?
Right.
Do they do anything but subs?
Subs, wraps, salads, some catering.
Okay.
Some sweet stuff. We didn't get any of the cookies or anything like that.
Well, here's the thing. We have a brand new Jersey Mike's over at our brand new Seminole City Center here in Little Seminole.
Yes.
Which is actually shaping up here.
Yeah. It's coming together.
When do you suppose the whole thing is going to be completed? Do you have any idea?
If I had to guess, I would say probably Christmas.
Okay.
Because they still have quite a bit to do.
Well, that seems like a reasonable date. I would like to think that it should be done by Thanksgiving at the latest.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they've been working on it for a couple years now.
Forever, right. Seems. The movie theater's coming along.
Nice.
It's looking
movie theater-ish.
Well, they've got the Miller's Ale House in there that is always packed.
Yes, and.
And the Applebee's just opened.
Applebee's just opened earlier this week. Right. That parking lot packed.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's coming together. They've got some of the roadways opened. You can actually travel from one end to the other.
Yeah.
Through a couple of routes now instead of just the one.
Do you think they're ever going to put in the brick courtyards like they promised us in the renderings? Is that ever going to happen? Or?
No.
We're just going to have to forget about that.
I'd let that one go.
Yeah. Dream big.
Mm. Who's our mayor, damn it? We need to call him. The next time you plan on changing the plans, let us know.
Right. Mm. I don't know. Maybe once it's all done, it'll make sense. But right now, it is a bit confusing.
All right.
I have to say. Anyway, back to Jersey Mike's.
Yeah.
Located at Seminole City Center. You can place your order online, which is wonderful, so it's ready for pickup. They are located at 11167 Park Boulevard, Unit F. So they're on that Park Boulevard side of Seminole City Center. If you don't want to place your order online but would like to call, you can do that as well.
Okay.
Their phone number is 727-350-5466. And everyone in there is very friendly. Very, very nice crew.
I would hope so.
Working in there.
Well, it just started.
Well,
things
can change. Yeah,
right. So far, so good.
All right, look, everybody, we have a big show. We got a lot of things to talk about, and I will remind you again that if you want to give us a call, please do so at 727-498-0502. If you want to win Joe's money, 100 smackerels. That'd be real nice for the holiday weekend. That's also 727-498-0502. Or if you're shy about calling, tweet us at Marco Radio Show 1.
Yes.
And we will respond to your tweets, and we'll have a real good time.
Well, yeah. We'll talk to you through your tweets.
Right. We need to take a bit of a break. When we come back, let's talk about sports, man.
All right.
Sports.
All right. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody, we are back. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show coming to you live right here on RadioSaintPete.com. That was My Blue Heaven by Pete Fountain. Pete Fountain is a legendary jazz guy, or was a legendary jazz guy, clarinetist, probably one of the best you'll ever hear in your life. Unfortunately, he passed away August 6th, 2016, so almost a full year ago. I remember when he did pass away, we did a little bit of a tribute to him. But what a fantastic song. I thought that was great.
Definitely.
A lot of times we play, you know, I mean, I don't think we've ever played other than like Jake Shimabukuro,
mm-hmm.
the ukulele guy, anything that doesn't have any vocals to it. Right. And I just thought that that song, My Blue Heaven, by Pete Fountain, was refreshing.
It is.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Good. I hope you enjoyed it,
very
everybody.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Let's see. So let's talk about sports, man.
Sports, man.
So, Ty, you collect a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, when you're collecting this stuff, is it your hope that somewhere down the line you'll be able to cash it in for money?
No.
No, you're just looking to keep it.
It's my stuff.
But, I mean, eventually, I mean, are you looking to pass it on to somebody or just, I mean, there's got to be.
Nope.
No.
No.
Just
know.
Your stuff.
It's mine.
It'll be put in my tomb.
Yeah. His sarcophagus.
Like Tutankhamun? Yeah. Tutankhamun?
Yeah.
See how it works. You know, you collect the entire set except for one. Right. That way, if they ever need to bring me back, they just get the missing one, bring it to me, and that should wake me up.
You think that would do it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how it works.
I read a story this week, which is kind of cool. Everybody knows who Charlie Sheen is, right?
Yes.
Two and a Half Men, all of his... you know,
Brat Pack,
the drugs, now he's got HIV, you name
it. Yeah, the Playboy bunnies. Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things about him, though, is that he's a collector of some really cool stuff. He mentioned on Monday to ESPN that he is going to be auctioning off his 1927 Babe Ruth World Series ring.
Whoa.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
A 1927 Babe Ruth World Series ring. He's also going to be auctioning off a copy, an original copy, of the sale document that sent the Babe from Boston Red Sox to the New York Yankees.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, how does Charlie Sheen have this to begin with? You know, I mean...
And does he really need the money that bad?
Well, I was going to say, why is he selling it? Well, yeah. She must be beautiful.
Well, what's so interesting is that, first of all, he doesn't need the money, okay? Secondly, he says that he wants to auction it off because, look, he says, I've enjoyed these things for more than two decades.
Wow.
And I'd really like to see them go to some collectors that will share them, you know, with the world.
Wow.
He likes to say that while he had them in his possession, in his man cave or what have you, that he'd like to be able to tell the story about the ring or the sale document, that kind of thing, which, you know, pretty interesting. I mean, you're talking about a ring from a World Series back in 1927 from probably the most famous baseball player that's ever played the game, Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he's had it for two decades?
More than two decades, actually.
Wow.
So that means that he was making good coin for more than two decades.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I remember hearing that during his days with Two and a Half Men that he was making like $1 million an episode.
Oh.
So the guy is... rich.
Loaded. That must be nice.
Loaded.
So, right. You go out and buy things like that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The auction supposedly is with this company called Leland's & Company, and it was supposed to happen today.
Oh.
They said that early bids for the ring were already up around $600,000 for the ring.
And I think that's low.
I think so, too. I mean, look, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of money that don't know what they can to do with their money
right. That
are looking to spend. I mean, you look at those car auctions, and when you're going to spend money, when you spend $1 million on a car
that's,
you know, 25 years old, that when it was brand new was like, you know, maybe $5,000.
Right.
You've got more money than you know what to do with.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, this is a ring. You know what I mean? And you can only imagine that 1927, and I saw a picture of it. It is nothing. It looks like a high school ring, okay? Now if you look at like Super Bowl rings and World Series rings and things like that, they're these great big, huge, gaudy things.
Right.
Okay, so here's this high school ring that already's got early bidding at about $600,000.
Wow.
You know? Mm.
Is it engraved?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like I say, it looks like a high school ring. It, you know, I'm sure it's got the 1927. It's probably got the Babe's name on it. You know, that kind of thing. It looked to me like it had like a red stone, like a what are the red
sapphire.
Stone?
Like a ruby.
Ruby stone. Yeah. That
sapphire's
kind of thing.
Sapphire's blue.
Let's see.
Close.
The sale
always
documents.
Always been kind of colorblind.
The sale documents that were originally owned by Yankees owner. What was his name? I can't find his name. Anyway, early bidding on those, $400,000. On the other side, because he went from the Red Sox, right, to the Yankees, all right, the owner of the Red Sox, his papers sold in 2005 for $996,000.
Mm.
You know what I mean? For papers that show the sale of a player.
Right.
You know, from one team to another. That's amazing to me.
Well, I that ring, it'll be interesting to see what...
I'm sorry. The, I'm sorry, go ahead. But the Yankees owner was Jacob Rupert, and the Red Sox owner, Harry Frazee, or Frazee. Harry Frazee.
Frazee.
Frazee. He's Frazee, like man.
He's Frazee.
He's Frazee. Anyway, I don't know. It's that's kind of interesting that here's Charlie Sheen with, you know, more money than he knows what to do with. I mean, to me, why wouldn't you pass that down to your kids?
Yeah.
I mean, is Charlie Sheen in a situation where he needs money?
I don't know. That's,
I don't think so.
You never know.
I mean,
he had some pretty expensive habits.
Yeah, that's true. But still, I mean, $1 million an episode, and what that show Two and a Half Men was on for how many seasons? I mean, he's still got to be loaded. He's been in movies.
Right.
You know.
I wonder what else he has in his arsenal of auctionable items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably got, like, original Van
Goghs. Well, one of the things,
Van Goghs,
one of the things during the World Series where Bill Buckner booted that ball between his legs during, the last play of the World Series, he had that ball. That's what the article said. He had that ball. That's kind of interesting.
So he buys, obviously, sports memorabilia.
Sports memorabilia.
But I wonder what else he has.
I'm sure he's got a bunch of
sports.
Stuff.
Sports.
Yeah, you know, a Fabergé football egg or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, signed by O.J. Simpson. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, just something crazy, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Serena Williams is now pregnant.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Tennis ace. Star, probably the best women's tennis player to ever live. Did you hear earlier in the week that John McEnroe, and he had to come back and kind of
backpedal a little?
Well, and you know what? He really didn't, because what he said wasn't wrong. He basically said that, and you know, because the media screws everything up. The media is like, John McEnroe's being sexist and said, you know, something negative about Serena Williams. Well, basically what he was saying is, look, the chick is a beast.
Yeah.
She's the best women's player to ever play. But if she would rank low if she had to play the men, if she was ranked along with the men, which is basically true. No, look, there are men out there that she could beat.
Oh, you plenty.
Know, I think on any given day, anybody can beat anybody.
Well, and I think that's...
I mean, she's a monster on the tennis court. You know?
The number that he threw out there is what the media attached to.
Right.
Because he said she would be ranked like 700.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. Mm-mm. And that's the piece that the media went with.
Right.
You know, he didn't say, you know, she'd probably be ranked in the top 10 or the top 20
right.
in men.
But he did say that she was probably one of the best players that's ever played, and of course the media just skimmed right
over that part. Right. Yeah. And well, and he has a reputation of being terse, if you will.
Well, he's direct.
Yeah, okay.
Fake news.
So, you know, did he really, you know, without actually hearing the inflection in his voice, did he right. really mean it as a dig? Or was he just, you know, throwing a number out there? You know, what mood was he in?
Right.
You know, was he, oh, she,
I don't think he was showing any disrespect.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Right.
But, you know, the news media.
I mean, this guy, John McEnroe, has played tennis all of his life. I mean, he's been a professional tennis player, one of the best in the world. He's won championships. Now he is probably one of the best tennis analysts when you watch a tennis match. I mean, I don't know that if you... Well, I mean, how often you watch a tennis match? I mean, a lot of people do, but I don't. But when I do watch one, I want to hear John McEnroe, you know, because he's going to give it to you straight. You
know? He knows what he's talking
right.
about.
So... I don't know.
Does he throw temper tantrums now?
No, I don't think. I think he's over that.
Okay.
He probably does that we are not aware of, but I don't think he has on air.
I'd probably watch more tennis
right.
if John McEnroe had some antics. You know, yeah. that was a bad call, and he's throwing, you know, a towel from the press box.
He's got his
blow horn.
His co-anchor, and he's like, are you kidding me? You know, right?
And he's storming down to challenge the what is it, the umpire, referee.
Are you blind?
Got money on this.
Yeah. He's not Pete Rose.
Yeah. Anyway, so we started this whole conversation about Serena Williams and the whole McEnroe thing. But what I was really trying to get to is that Serena's sister, Venus.
Yes.
Wow. Mm. Sometime around June 9th, was involved in a car accident.
Oh, no.
Where apparently she blew through a red light and was T-boned by another car. Well, the older gentleman in the car, 79-year-old guy, he was injured pretty badly, and then like 2 weeks after the accident died.
From his injuries.
Right.
That's not good.
Venus did not receive any injuries at all. The wife of the guy...
who was actually driving
was
the car.
Driving. She was banged up a little bit, but nothing serious. But the 79-year-old guy has since died of his injuries.
Whoa.
So, I mean...
And the family has filed suit.
Well, yeah, well, look.
You
ran a red light.
Yeah.
Well, and they just determined that she was at fault.
And the thing is, has she been charged? Because what I have written here is that she has not been charged.
They determined she was at fault, but has not yet officially been charged.
Well, what are they saying?
But the family has
what
already...
Is she at fault of just running the red light?
Running the red light.
Was she texting? Was she on the phone? They said that I guess they did like a toxicology thing and she wasn't drunk or on drugs or anything like that.
Right.
But still, you know,
well,
distracted driving.
Again,
yeah, why did you just run a red light?
Again, right. With the news media, in the real world that the rest of us live in,
yes.
You know, you have to file suit in order for the insurance company to pay.
Right.
You know, where the news media is like, oh, the family is suing her.
Right.
And it's like, well, yes, they are, but...
That's
what you have to do.
If you want anything.
That's how it works.
How old do you think Venus is?
Oh, I don't know.
She's 37. So at 37, you have to think that probably she's getting close to the end of her professional tennis career, right? Wouldn't you think so?
You would think, but you never know.
I mean, both she...
Venus and Serena.
Yeah, Venus and Serena have been monsters ever since they became professional tennis players.
Right, forever.
And they've pretty much dominated. And it's very interesting to me whenever they have to play each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, those are great matches because it's like, you know, you can almost see the anguish in each other's eyes where it's like, you know, because there's always a sibling that's like, I'm going to get you.
Right.
And then there's always the other sibling that's like, it's okay. I don't want
to
hurt your feelings.
Right.
And I think Venus is the one that's the one that's like, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Because Serena seems like the attack dog.
Oh, I will win.
Anyway.
Those are good matches, though.
Very good. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see how that that turns out.
Yeah, I
mean, here's somebody.
Why drive?
Here's another athlete that's got more money than she knows what to do with, and unfortunately, she's going to end up having to pay some big dollars.
Right. You know, I don't know that if I ever had that kind of money, driving is going to be one of the first things to go.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I'll own some really cool cars. I love cars.
And the thing is, the car that she was driving, the car that she was driving was like a 2010 Toyota, like Sequoia SUV. It's like, come on, man.
Right.
You got that kind of money. You ought to have something or not be driving at all.
Right.
Well, maybe it's really nice.
Well, I'm sure it is nice, but still.
Maybe low mileage because she doesn't drive much.
Yeah. This all happened down here in Florida, wherever she lives down here.
Everything bad does.
Yeah.
It seems that way, doesn't it? It does seem that way. Anyway, we'll have to...
we'll keep an eye on that one.
Right. Yep.
Keep an eye on it.
Hey, for all you race fans...
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Ty, now listen up.
Hold on now.
One of your heroes, Darrell Earnhardt Jr., who is scheduled to retire at the end of this NASCAR season, will make his final racing appearance tomorrow at Daytona International Speedway in the Coke Zero 400. He's turning left, everybody.
And what's funny is, I thought you said for all you Rays fans.
No, I got a race story next.
I thought it was Rays.
Race. NASCAR.
Enunciate.
Daryl says that once he retires, he'll never turn left again.
I'm sorry, you both were talking.
I said that Daryl said that once he retires, he will never turn left again.
Yeah.
Ah.
You got to say his name right. It's Durrell.
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 Let's see. My Tampa Bay Rays started weekend series tonight in Baltimore against the Orioles and our Rowdies. Well, your guess is as good as mine.
No. July 6th, cool in the gang.
Right? Well, they cool play here, and they play the here in town you next sure? Thursday, July 6th against FC Cincinnati.
Nope. Yes.
That and that's the one where Cool in the Gang will be playing.
Cool in the Gang.
That we said that they would be doing that 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Good job. Fake news.
But, you know.
Hey, how cool was it last week on the show when Bill Smotts called in, who basically is like the voice of the Rowdies, and he calls in and gives us the lowdown on what's happening with the Rowdies becoming an MLS team and things like that. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely.
He's wicked smart.
What do you got?
All right. Well, we're not very big race fans.
No.
Thank you, PW. It's not Durrell. It's Dale.
Dale.
Dale
Earnhardt.
Dale. And his brother Darrell. Yeah, exactly.
It's all the same.
Is it really Dale?
It's Dale.
Is it Dale?
Oh my God, Dad, you're the worst reporter ever.
It is Dale.
It's Dale.
Damn it.
It's a sport without a ball in it. He doesn't care.
Yeah, right. They go left.
Yeah.
He's right.
Right. Oh, yeah, here's something that I wanted to mention.
Durrell.
Darrell and my Florida Gators won the College World Series baseball tournament.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
When was that?
Oh, they did it this week. They beat LSU and they swept them.
Oh, that
swept them.
Yeah,
who was it? What
late.
Team is this?
The Gators.
The Gators. Florida Gators.
I thought they were a football thing.
It's a college tie. They have all kinds of sports there.
Well,
you never hear them do baseball.
They're a very good baseball team, actually. They're always up in the running.
Okay.
It says the...
all right.
I'll trust you.
Kids are big sports fans.
Big fans.
Says the Florida Gators put themselves in rare company with Tuesday night's College World Series national championship victory. Florida is just the fourth program in Division I to win a national title in three major men's sports. Football, basketball, and baseball.
I was going to have Ty name them.
Oh, yeah,
good job, Darrell.
The others are Michigan, Ohio State, and UCLA. Not bad.
Not bad
at all. Go Gators.
Joining an elite crowd.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. An elite crowd.
That's right. Hey, you know what we haven't done in about 3 weeks?
Whoa.
A Python report.
What?
Wait, I want to say one more sportsy related thing.
Okay.
That I actually handed you right before the show.
What?
That you ignored completely.
The Redskins.
Oh, right.
The whoever, Supreme Court.
Darrell.
The Department of Justice ends fight against Washington Redskins' name.
Yes.
And you know what? When it all comes down to it, I'm glad.
I am too.
You know what? They're the Redskins. They've always been the Redskins. You know, because I'm from the Washington, D.C. area, I was a huge Washington Redskins fan my entire life until we moved down here to Florida 20 years ago. Still, the Washington Redskins have a special place in my heart. You know, if the name is so offensive, well, change it. But if it turns out that it's not, well, come on, man.
Well, I just think sensitivity.
Yeah. Are we getting,
we're getting a little carried away.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see
it. I mean, we're tearing
it.
Down monuments and cities of the Confederate soldiers and generals and things like that. You know, this whole Redskin thing started even before that.
Right.
And you know what was so funny about the whole thing? From whatever, all the coverage that I saw, I never saw a whole lot of Indians complaining about the name Redskins.
No.
As a matter of fact, I saw an article a year or so ago that said that on a reservation, their high school football team was called the Redskins. You know, right. I mean, so... Come
well,
on.
I mean, they're kind of entitled to that mm-hmm. one.
As a matter of fact, they were talking about the one football game on a reservation. It was the Redskins against the Papooses.
No.
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 That doesn't work.
That's not right.
No.
When asked to comment, they were all like, "We don't care about football. Stop the pipeline."
Just right. Keep sending the wampum. We have beads for you.
Yeah. Get out of here, pale face.
We'll scalp you. Oh, oh. We'll sell you some really cool moccasins.
This is getting
you
bad.
Want some beads?
What do we got?
Who's, feathers.
Who's doing what?
That's you.
That's you.
That's just
I'm
you.
I'm sure we're in trouble now.
Yeah, no, see. No, we're fine. We're fine.
All right.
So no, I was
Mr. P telling you how it is.
I was just glad to see that, you know, they get to keep their trademark.
That is so funny. It is Dale.
It is Dale.
Where did I get Daryl?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it kind of fits.
I am such a big race fan.
Yes.
How did I not get that?
You do love your race.
You remember Dale's dad, Daryl?
Yeah.
Died in that race a few years back.
Yes, that was horrific.
He turned right.
Yeah.
He did turn right into the wall. Hey, you know, speaking of P.W. Fenton.
Good job, Daryl.
P.W. Fenton is, to me, he's a very interesting character, and I would love to have him on the show.
Yes.
If he would, come here from Hudson, that would be fantastic. That's a bit of a clip.
Yeah.
It would be a fantastic show. I am... I'm very, very interested in him. He's got this thing that he does every day on this day in blues history.
Don't be
creepy. That he posts online, and I see it every day on Facebook, and I always check it out. Fantastic. I love it. And it's just a two-minute clip, and he always features, like, two artists. Today it was Johnny Otis and B.B. King. And nice. I'm going to give you a little bit of the Johnny Otis song. And this is a great song. Check it out. It's not called hand job.
I want candy. I want candy.
Anyway, this is Johnny Otis with Willie and the Hand Jive. And this song,
Willie and the Hand Jive.
This song was recorded back in 1958. This is an oldie.
They wanted candy.
An oldie but a goodie. And the thing is, if you go to On This Day in Blues History with P.W. Fenton, you can find all kinds of gems. I love that. Every day I go on Facebook and I see his posts. I love them. If you don't want to go on Facebook, you can also find it at www.bluesland.net. And he's got all kinds of things, blues-related, music-related. It tells all about P.W. Fenton. And it also, one of the things that we did a couple of weeks ago, I went on bluesland.net, and I saw where P.W. Fenton in the Second Ward were actually a very good band. And I don't know. See, these are the things we need to ask P.W. Are you still in the band? Do you still perform? Because I would go.
Oh, I would love to see
that.
Neat. Oh, yeah. And they're fantastic.
We played that song
a lot of fun.
Two or three weeks ago by P.W. Fenton in the Second Ward. I believe it was called 99 Pounds.
Yes.
That was a great song. I loved it.
And, do you have it now?
I don't have it up on now.
No, I don't.
Well, how are you going to talk about it?
Well, I just did talk about it, damn it.
Next week. Next week, PW.
Yeah, PW, maybe if you're still listening, let's plan something out, and let's do that, because I think it would be a hoot.
Yes.
A hoot. You can bring Roz down.
Hoot.
Yeah. We can elevate her wrist.
Right.
And, you know, take the pressure off so it won't throb. Throw some frozen peas on it, whatever we need to do.
Mark will share some of his leave.
Maybe some Orajel might help. You never know.
Hey, we'll share some of her leaves.
Flowers.
Right.
I prefer to call them.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about this Python report.
Yes.
Like I said, it's been about 3 weeks since we've done a Python report. Well, we have one. And it close.
No.
Now, see, this is where the problem is, and you're going to get this when I tell you the story. Christ. All right, these people, this couple, had a boat, okay, down in Plantation, Florida, which is near the Everglades.
Yep.
Okay, they were going to take a boat trip, take their boat from Plantation, Florida, near the Everglades, all the way up to Orlando.
Wrong.
Well, they take the boat from Plantation to Orlando. They get to Orlando and they go down in the boat and they discover an 8-foot-long python.
Oh,
in the boat.
My God.
Now, here's the thing. Are they transporting pythons? Can you get in trouble for that?
Uh-oh.
Or, I mean, it seems to me.
You would notice that.
If you're going to go on a long boat ride, wouldn't you check the whole boat? How are you going to miss an 8-foot python?
They're
How big
crafty.
Is this boat?
I'm assuming it's a fairly good sized boat. If you're,
I would
take
assume it's
ride.
Bigger than 8 feet.
I'm thinking it's probably a 35 footer, maybe a 40 footer, something like that.
I see that. That freaks me out.
I mean, an 8-foot long python can't just hide anywhere, right?
How did he get on the boat?
He slithered on.
You know,
slithered in through
like a bilge pump,
and they swim, right? They're in the water.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
yeah, but I mean, it's. You know, it's hard to get on a boat if you're in the water.
This is a Burmese python, 8-footer.
What if that python had not been discovered and slinked out of the boat? I don't know.
In Orlando.
Right.
Got a little car sick because it happened to have been pregnant with, 75 eggs. Which
right. 75,000.
Which is what
they
are finding.
And now went into a wooded area in Orlando.
Right.
Now that wooded area has gotten, 75-80 eggs.
Right.
New hatchlings of Burmese pythons. This is how it happens.
This is how it happens.
I'm telling you,
all
this
it takes
python,
is one.
This python thing is out of control. It's out of control.
Well, several weeks ago, there was a guy Bradenton, the one that's south of us.
Right.
He went to start his car. He had been down in that area.
Right.
Came home. The next morning, his car wouldn't start. He opened the hood, and there was a python coiled up in the engine block. And I mean, that's how easily
crash it, burn
it could happen.
Time to sell the car.
With this couple with the boat, they killed this python. Did not say how. That's what I want to know. How'd you kill the python?
Shovel.
Right.
I saw how that worked with a black racer. You got to chop it a couple of times.
Well, the thing is now, an 8-foot python is not moving that fast.
Yeah, but it's thick.
Yeah, it's strong.
Yeah, you're going to have to use an axe or...
A chainsaw.
Chainsaw or something.
Turn the propeller on.
Right. Yeah, feed it. Ugh.
Use a sword.
Garbage disposal. I don't know.
So they killed the snake and they reported it to the Florida Wildlife Commission, okay? Because they reported it, now... The couple qualifies for a prize in the Python pickup program.
Oh, nice.
So now they actually qualify for a I Killed a Python t-shirt.
Hey.
Yay. Wango.
Wango, everybody.
Good job, Daryl. Yeah.
I
don't know. It kind of makes me wonder if maybe it was their snake to begin with.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I really don't think so. And it is. It's very creepy to think. I mean, think how many cars travel through the Everglades. You know, you drive through there to get to the other coast.
Right.
Swear to God, if I go out to my car and there's a big old python. I'm freaking out.
Yeah, we're just going to junk it.
Yeah. You know.
Junk it!
They could...
It's already mashed in the back.
And you know, they can hitchhike on anything.
Right.
You know, what if they're in, I don't know, an orange grove down there?
Don't big snakes like that have a smell? Wouldn't you think that an 8-foot python would, like, you'd go down into the living area of a boat and you'd be like, what the hell is that?
You would hope.
What is that?
Is that a python?
It smells like snakes in
here. It smells like a damn python.
Right.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Oh, I don't know if they have a smell.
I don't know if they do or not.
Well, hey, they should.
We are getting close to our halfway point.
Yes.
And we have not had a caller.
No.
To try to win Joe's money.
Strong lamos.
All you got to do is call 727-498-0502. You got to answer 3 easy questions.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for about 3 weeks now. We've had one winner. Unfortunately, the guy that called last week did not win.
Right.
We should have just gave it.
But there are 3 easy questions.
3 easy questions.
All you got to do is call in.
Call in.
We're basically giving away Joe's money.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, we need to take a break. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you live every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. And we got the rest of the show to do.
Yes, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Took us my hip to the ground. End up like a dog that's been beat too much till you spat half the line.
to you.